All right, everybody, welcome. Whenever you're listening to this, morning, afternoon, or good night, I suppose. But today is Wednesday, April 15. It used to be a tax day, not so much anymore. But I'm glad you've joined us here for Daily Journey Podcast, where I'm doing two questions with some friends. And my friend today is Stephen Kerrigan. Hi, Steve.
Hi.
Welcome to this podcast. Happy to have you here today.
I'm happy to be here, and I love you. Say it back.
I love you too.
Okay.
You know, the whole point of this podcast is basically like we're all kind of taking things day by day, and for some of us, it's helpful to process this stuff out loud and talk about what it's like living in a pandemic. We've never done that before, and we're all doing it together, so let's have some conversations about what we're doing. And I bring folks on and ask them just to ask me two questions, and we have a conversation about that. But Steve's my guest. Steve, why don't you give us an introduce yourself for us. What do you want the world to know about who you are?
That's funny. You mentioned going through a pandemic together. The other night, my wife, Angie, we're just sitting hanging out, and she goes, "Hun, this is our first pandemic." Which is funny, but it was funny the way she's like it was a romantic moment or something. Man, my name's Steve. I'm a human. I have a wife, Angie, who I met in high school, and she's awesome. We'll be year 27 married this summer. We have three kids who are all adults, which is it's super weird and yet super amazing. And I will give some hope out there for, especially during the quarantine, of parents with small kids. They grow up and it's going to be okay.
It's going to be just fine. We'll get there.
No, I have two boys, and Emily, and they are awesome. Ethan's 25. Sam is 23 and Emily's 20. And, yeah, it's fun kind of journeying close with them, but yet, well, Emily still lives with us, but close, but they have their own, yeah, they live outside of our walls, which is crazy. Mm-hmm. I am a pastor. We can talk about the theological, that's my cat, but sorry, you can't see that. Scott, this is not one of the questions, but right, am I a pastor or was I a pastor?
I don't know, man. That's a good question.
I'm ordained, but yet I'm not at a church yet. I still act as pastor for many people, but that's not one of
the questions. I guess I'll say you are. I mean, because here's the thing that I'm thinking about is, I'm not technically ordained in our denomination. I'm commissioned in our denomination. And one of the specifics about commissioning is that the commissioning is to a particular role. So if I were to leave my role, I wouldn't carry that with me anymore. Whereas like an ordination that you have, you can carry with you. But if you're, I mean, yeah. Are you a shepherd if you don't have any sheep? I don't know.
But yet, after years of ministry, you end up with a whole lot of sheeps.
Yeah, that's true. You know I would say at this point in your life, you're once and always.
Anyway.
But you just took a new job.
Yes. I took a new job at Wedgwood. I haven't started yet. The very interesting thing of getting a job during a pandemic is there's lots of phone calls and lots of emails and a Zoom call, and then I got hired, and I haven't met with anybody face-to-face. As far as, you know, well, this is the new face-to-face, I guess. I'm excited. I cannot wait, but that's going to happen at some point here.
So you'll be, like, unquarantined when you get to go to work, right?
Yes.
That's obviously not a, you know, like, you got kids living in homes, homes and stuff, right?
And I got that explained. They haven't had any cases. They are very ardent. I don't even know if that word fits. They're very they take care of everybody and make sure that everybody's good to work and that kind of thing. But yeah. So I will be for the first weeks or months or whatever, I will be getting hazard pay, which is interesting. I've never gotten hazard pay before.
as a pastor or a youth pastor, that's probably available to you. Yeah.
Although, like a middle school lock-in, you should get hazard pay as a pastor.
That's true.
So that's me. Just recently, December, moved from Ada into Grand Rapids, and it's totally different, but totally amazing. Yeah. Love it so much. We had a whole bunch of acreage, but we also lived next to a school. So it was noisy a lot. And guess what? When you live on Wealthy Street, it's noisy. So it ended up feeling very normal here, and walking places and stuff, even though there's not a lot of places to walk to currently. Well, you can walk to them. You just can't walk into them. But no, it's been, we love it, and it's good. It's good. Yeah.
So new job, new place, like a lot of life change for you over the last, I don't know how many months, a year or so, or whatever. Yeah.
And also, if I could throw this in there because I'm excited about it. Speaking of life change, today, this very day, I'm 11 months sober.
That's pretty awesome.
Which is, I mean, you want to talk about resurrection. Mm. as far as Easter and such. Yeah. It feels that way. And
it's awesome. What do you think? I mean, aside from the obvious of I don't drink anymore, what do you think the thing has died? You know, like you can look at the new life right now, probably in your life, but what has passed away for you?
Just addiction is a bear, man. It's a responsibility every day that you take on / it's taken on for you. It's part of your, it ends up being part of your day, part of your schedule of, I need to drink this amount. It's nuts, but.
Yeah. And it's not necessarily even because you want to anymore.
No.
You have to.
And you always feel terrible, always. And it's, now is wonderful.
Yeah, you're like, I don't have to feel terrible anymore.
No, I still I don't sleep very well, but it's fine. Like last night was a complete disaster as far as sleeping wise, but I read in the middle of the night. I listen to music in the middle of the night. I get grounded and centered way before the sun comes up. Which is funny. Some days you're like, man, son, come on, let's go. I've been up for like 4 hours. It's time to get light outside.
What's a thing that you feel like you've learned the most through your journey to sobriety of 11 months today?
Oh man. The thing I've learned the most is, I think I already kind of said it, but addiction's terrible. Mm. And whatever that is, whatever.
Probably in a way that you can't see when you're in it, right? Like,
oh, heck no. No. You cannot, you have to keep going.
And you spend your day going, this is fine.
I'm
sure it's not perfect, but whatever. It's okay.
It's, I don't know, it's weird. It's going to take me, I guess that's why they call it recovering alcoholics. Mm-hmm. It's going to take me a while to sort through of that.
Yeah.
Are
you seeing a counselor? Are you doing AA, or how are you taking the journey?
I do AA not as much as, it's funny because I'm a sponsor for a guy who dealt with this a few months after I did, and he is a regular AA guy. I'm more a once a week, once a month AA mm-hmm. person. For some people, it's life and death. Yeah. And I can't even imagine what alcoholics and people that are dealing with drug issues are handling right now.
Oh, sure. Yeah.
Because AA and NA is life mm-hmm. to those people. And when all you see, you know, whether it's advertisement, Facebook, Instagram, a lot of what you see is the only way I'm getting through this is with alcohol.
Right. Yeah.
And then you have a bunch of people who can't drink alcohol, and they can't go to AA.
Yeah.
Right now.
Yeah.
So it's an interesting time.
Yeah. Well, hey man, I'm glad that you are 11 months sober today. What a good birthday to have. That's awesome. Mm-hmm. But I didn't bring you on here to talk about not drinking or drinking. No. So, two questions is our format. I am very curious to how you're going to take this conversation. So let's rock and roll.
Okay. I have, man, this was fun. Just the preparation for this and I've had a lot of thoughts and wrote a lot of things.
Man.
And here's the deal. Do me a favor. If I'm a programmer at heart, you know that. So mm-hmm. if I ask you a question and I haven't listened to all your podcasts, and like the last person asked you that question, just I have more than
okay.
So I want this to be programmatically. I want this to go well. So if we already covered
that's true.
Just kick me to the next question.
Okay.
So the first one I wanted to ask is, what makes you really mad?
Oh, nobody has asked me this question.
Yes. I was hoping that.
Good job. Great question. I'm going to border on politicizing a little bit too much. And let me just say that I'm not trying to do that on the front end of this question. I read an article this week where people are talking about the coming back and what will happen afterwards. Mm-hmm. And one of the things that somebody was saying about how people will politicize this experience is the author said, you know, we are so craving for this normalcy that when we get back into normalcy, we're really going to love it. And it's going to feel, you know, amazing. Right. And we're going to revel mm-hmm. in that. And he, and the author said, and watch, because it won't be long after that before people try to convince you this didn't happen. And I don't think he means like that it just didn't happen, but people will look back and go, man, that was such an overreaction. People will look back and say, we didn't really need that many ventilators, or, you know, it wasn't really that many people who were affected, and we didn't really need to stop selling paint at the hardware store. And
right.
And if you look right now, like there, especially in Michigan, right? Like I follow the like Michigan subreddit, and like there's all that conversation about, well, I have a second vacation home. I pay taxes there. I should be able to go there, right? And it all comes from a place of it's my right.
Yeah.
And that makes me angry. Like this sort of like, well, I should be able to do whatever I want. And I don't know if you've experienced this, but Cindy and I have had this back and forth about, I need to go to the hardware store to, you know, buy baseboards for my flooded basement, or we need to go to the grocery store or something like that. And then it becomes this sort of cascade of like, well, okay, well, if you're going out, I'm going to go see my friend, or, you know, like, or can we have grandpa and grandma come over, or what, you know? And it's like, well, you know, they really have asked us not to do those things. Yeah. But for me, I know that I can fill in the blank.
Right.
So we,
because I don't have it.
Right. So like, that's the thing that's making me like frustrated is our American exceptionalism, mm-hmm. this idea mm-hmm. that, well, yeah, but not me. Like, I don't have to, like, this is an experience that is so corporate, right? Like, it's so much about our community is doing something together for our community. And all we want to do is complain about, well, my rights. It's my right. Yeah. The government can't tell me to whatever. And I'm like, man.
Well, that I'm a helper. I'm a fixer.
Yeah.
Like if there's a thing, I want to help.
Yeah.
If there's a problem, I want to fix.
Yeah.
So I've been dealing with it's not guilt. It's just frustration of I want to fix all the things, all the things.
Yeah.
I want to help all the people who need help. But the odd part, I've been unbelievably frustrated with that. Like
it's an
all day frustration for me. But the weird part about this corporate thing we're going through is the way to help is
do this. Are helping,
but it hurt. Yeah. It
doesn't feel still, like it though, right?
It does not feel like hanging out at home is helping.
Yeah.
But I need to, because it's not like, I don't think tomorrow everything's opening back up.
Right.
I need to, and it's funny because it's been weeks now, but I need to get used to
this is the way I help.
Because
right?
I actually, 3 weeks ago, I texted a buddy of mine whose wife works at Spectrum. She's like, I don't know the official title, but manager of nurses.
Sure.
And
nurse I'm manager, like, I guess. I don't know. Yeah. Super nurse. I don't know.
It's fancy if you say manager of nurses.
President of nursing.
Yes. Yes. And just side note, he's a type 1 diabetes brother. Mm. So we both
like
have
you.
It. Yeah. Yeah. And I was asking him, like, how can your wife get me? I need to go. I need to help. I need to work at the hospital. I need to volunteer. I need to help.
Yeah.
And he texts me back and he's like, he just straight up said, bro, I don't want you to work at a hospital. We already have this thing against us.
Yeah.
I don't want you to work at a hospital. And I was like, okay, you're right. It's probably not smart to work at the hospital, but it's been a frustration.
Yeah. Well, and that's the reality we're in. And it's frustrating at how many people want to just buck that trend, you know, mm-hmm. for the sake of, I mean, it's the same thing of like, well, it's my right to do this. It's my right to do that. And I do always often reflect around that issue. I hear it most often around the Second Amendment rights, which I'm not going to argue about that. Right. Like, but that's the refrain I hear, like, well, it's my right to own whatever I want to own. It's my right to own assault weapons if I want to and that sort of stuff. But
well, and the thing is I can't believe you can actually read the Michigan Reddit, because I can't read comments of anything right now.
I know.
Otherwise,
I can't.
I will lose my mind.
It's the same thing over and over again,
so,
right? And it's nonsense.
The reason, so I made the mistake a couple days ago of, you know, oh, there was an article about, you know, the governor shutting things down.
Sure.
And I read the first three comments and I was like, what is going, why, holy cow, people are nuts.
Yeah.
But here's, like, the governor, because of that American individuality, and the governor has to do this. Because
we won't play right well
exactly.
together.
Exactly. We don't play good with friends.
Yeah.
And we don't share. And we have to... You have to go overboard with these restrictions because otherwise people aren't going to listen.
Yeah. But the argument of like, it's my right. I think about this around Easter because I'm like, yeah, Christ had a lot of rights and he chose to lay them down. You know, like not that I expect everybody's like going to model Christian ideals or that sort of thing.
Right.
But at least for me, it's like, that's the surest form of how we interact as a society is going, you know what? It's not about, like, it is my right to do whatever I want to do or have what I want to ever have, and I'm choosing not to exercise it. Like, that's what Christ does. Like, it was his right to say, nope, you don't get to put me on a cross because I'm Jesus, I'm the Son of God. But instead, he did willingly. Like, he laid, that's why we use that language. He laid down his life, right? He didn't have to, but he chose to. So I guess I get a, I guess I get mad when people don't act like Jesus. Is that is that the moral of our story?
Yes, I guess it is.
Didn't know that's where I was going to end with that one, but yeah. Yeah. Oh, anything different for you that makes you, I guess the not helping is frustrating. Is that making you mad?
Oh, it is. It's making me mad. Yeah. But similar to you, just people not like just doing that. I have privilege and I can do whatever I want because I'm an American. Yeah. That makes me really mad.
Yeah.
People being mistreated drives me insane. In any sort, I mean, it always does, but especially now, like, let's treat people well. And for some reason, especially in the climate of the last few years, that seems to be really difficult to just treat people well for some reason. So that makes me really
it almost
mad.
Feels as if, like, I've often said this, the comment section is the worst thing to happen to humanity.
Oh my gosh.
Because we used to be able to think those thoughts in our head, but still treat each other well when we saw each other.
Yeah. Yep.
Now we get behind a username and say the most horrible stuff, the most selfish stuff. And it's not a dial. It's not an actual conversation, you know, because of
No.
Yeah. Okay. What's your second question? That was a good one.
Oh boy, this is because there's this one, which is awesome. But
now you want to pick.
Yeah, I know. I'm gonna give you one just to think about, but then I'm gonna ask you to speak just for fun.
I just want it to have been said.
Yes, I want it to have been said. Something that you did that you regret. Let me do that one, but here's the other one that I actually, but if you want to cancel the one that I was actually going to do, then whatever you want to do. What does the church look like moving forward? Has that already been covered 1,000 times with you?
A little bit, yeah.
Okay. Well, then I'm going to go to another one.
I just want to see what's all on your list now.
Okay. The other one is life. This one is more of a theological thing, but it drives me, it bugs me a lot. Is life really a choose your own adventure?
I think I'm going to go with that one, and I'm going to like put a big disclaimer on this. And the disclaimer is I don't really know.
Neither do I.
So I'm not
trying to set you up.
No, but I don't know if out of the four people that listen to this, one of them is a really smart theologian who's going to think I'm really stupid for what I'm going to say. But I mean, I'll think about it this way. The best way I've been able to make sense of that kind of question, again, comes through the cross, right? Again, this is just after Easter, so it's like, good, we're talking about this, but like the idea that God does or doesn't allow you to make some choices in our, or, you know, choose our own adventure, I guess, as the language you used. I think God has the ability to make this not a choose your own adventure. Like, I 100% believe that God is big enough to every single atom in every single molecule is under his control, right? Like, I think that's true. Actually, I don't think you think that's true. Let me finish what I'm saying, and then I want to hear what you say. I'm trying to think back to some of our conversations around this.
Right.
I think it is, but in order... But because God is so interested in our choices, like God is so interested in saying, I want you to choose to be in relationship with me. I want you to choose to be in love with me, that he could have forced us into that. He could have made that happen for us, but for his own reasons felt like, that's not how I want to do this. I want you to choose this. So he actually says, I'm going to allow the choice. And if I'm going to allow the choice for you to love me, I'm also going to allow the choice for you to hate me. Right? Like one can't work without the other. And so he allows those things to happen to say, you do have all these choices. You can choose to love me or not. It is a choose your own adventure in that regard. Right. But only because I'm so big enough to allow that to happen. And then I also would say at the end of the day, after all that's said and done, I also think he's a God who loves us so much that he's going to find a way to get us one way or the other.
Right.
I don't know if you like that answer.
No, I'm not. I don't know if I like it or not either, but it's something that I wonder about a lot where, okay, so you say the choosing, I totally get the premise of the God of love. It's not love if we're all robots and have to, you know, follow.
Yeah.
So I get that part, but then the choosing part on our part, is it a choosing on our part if God already knows what we're going to choose?
One way I've described this, I don't know how to do this, not visually, but let's imagine that there's like a timeline that is linear, right? And let's imagine it's 3 miles long. There's an actual line on the earth that's 3 miles long.
It's a 5K.
Sure.
What you're saying.
Yes. Okay. Yeah. Yeah. And actually let's use the analogy of the 5K. You and I are running a 5K, right?
That's funny.
And your son Ethan is running a 5K. So let's pause the 5K at a moment in time, about 15 minutes into the 5K. Okay. Ethan is at the finish line, right? Steve and Scott are a half a mile into the race.
Right.
Right. Now, and I feel like this is very simple. And again, I would put my, I'm not a good theologian disclaimer on here. if you go high enough above that, the distance between Ethan and you and I really shrinks, right? You get high enough in the air and that 3 mile 5K looks to be about a point, right?
Right, right.
We're actually right next to each other. So, you know, so our choices are not, does God know what we're going to do, but yet he still does it? Like, my question is, what if that all just happens at the same time? Right? Like it simultaneously is happening and he knows how it's happening. And again, just because he knows what choice we're going to make doesn't mean he's forcing us to make a choice.
Right. And this a disclaimer. This is not like a faith issue with me. Like,
yeah.
I know that.
Yeah.
It doesn't affect.
It's a, but how does God work question?
Right. Right. So my, it's the same thing of people ask me because, you know, let's say a church situation didn't go great.
Right.
I am able to, well, you know, how can you believe in God if a church situation doesn't go great? Yeah. Well, those are two different things.
Those are two different things.
Yes.
Because those are still just people.
Exactly.
Right.
So
it's not like that's the holiest group of people because it has a church label on it. Right.
Right.
Yeah.
It's interesting in...
I mean, my church is.
Yeah.
But it's because of the people who are there.
It's interesting in the Alcoholics Anonymous thing. It's fascinating how it all started. But their thing is we're powerless over... There's certain people who... I mean, we're powerless...
Over everything,
you know, yeah. But drinking and specifically, there's some people who are powerless over it and you cannot move to growth without realizing that there's a higher power.
Right.
But in Alcoholics Anonymous, it's some sort of higher power,
mm-hmm.
a power greater than you.
Yeah. So which honestly could even be your doctor, right? It could be, yeah.
Well, for them, it is past that.
Yeah.
But it's interesting. That's the entry point of faith for them, is to be able to move on as an alcoholic. You have to realize that there's something greater than you.
Yeah,
there's a higher power that's not you. And so, you know, whether God knows what we're exactly we're going to do, all that stuff, that's, you know, that doesn't really matter to me as my faith wise.
Yeah.
I'm just the part that I get stuck, not faith wise, but stuck in my head a lot, is if everything is preordained, big word, if all that, then why on earth would we pray? Like, why pray? That seems like a giant waste of time. Right? Or is that weird? Like,
I mean, why? I think you're also asking a question from the perspective of it's sort of like putting a quarter into the machine. Like, why put a quarter into the machine if the machine's already going to do what the machine's going to do? Right? And I don't think that's like, and God being the machine of this thing. Like, but I don't think that's what things like prayer are for, right? I don't think that's why things like a situation in our lives that went bad, I don't think what those are for. I don't think it's like, well, if I keep putting money in the machine, then good things are going to happen, or whatever is going to happen is going to happen. It's sort of, I keep using this analogy. I've come to it a lot lately, but like, you're a youth pastor. You probably had these conversations with high school seniors about like, what college am I going to go to when I graduate? Mm-hmm. Like, it feels like the biggest decision in the world.
Absolutely.
You're 18 years old and you have to decide your future somehow.
Right.
And if you're in a church, sometimes those 18 year olds are asking, well, what college does God want me to go to? Right.
Right.
And I've always, my answer is always the same. Like, I don't think God cares what college you go to. I think he cares who you are, like, in that college. So, Why would you still believe in God if this crappy thing happened in the church? Well, it's probably more about who am I becoming through that experience? How is that experience using me to engage God? What am I learning about God through that? Right. The experience is like, it's not about them being bad or good. It's about what they do inside of me.
Right. And in that analogy, with prayer, so let's say you're praying for someone else.
Mm-hmm.
What is that prayer doing to you? To think outside of yourself, even whether you think God, you know what I'm saying? If someone has disease, what is that doing to you and your relationship with God and your relationship to the other person by praying for them?
Well, and I think about Lord's Prayer, right? Give us this day our daily bread, right? That's a petition. That's an ask. Mm-hmm. But what it also does is when you pray it, it is training you to remember who is the provider, right?
Yep.
Like, and so listen, man, you know this as much as I know this. Like, most of the days I'm the provider, right? Like, I am self-sufficient. I am a person who, that's right. There's a higher power who's like, we have to be reminded of that because we don't think absolutely. That way. So I think like it also is about training us to rely on God and go, I'm going to you, God, because Steve's got a problem and I want this, but it's your will that needs to be done. And I'm reminding myself that you are in control of that, and that underneath whatever Steve is dealing with, like, you still care about him. And you want him to look more like Jesus because of it. So
it's interesting. Yeah. You mentioned the high schoolers. A lot of this comes from me wanting good answers for kids.
Sure.
Because you get asked these questions all the time that
are big.
And you're supposed to have an answer. And the answer's hard. I don't know, lately, my go-to personally, and my go-to to people who, whether it's a phone call or face-to-face, whatever, is we're not alone. And the word during the last year or so, and now that I look at it, the last how many ever years, is the word through. Is, you know, the 23rd Psalm says it. It doesn't say that God is with you before the valley of the shadow of death or
after. And if only you prayed the Psalm, you would have avoided.
Yeah.
You know, well, like, no, it doesn't say
it
that.
It says through. Isaiah 43 says, when you walk through rivers of difficulty, and that God is with you through. It's not that light at the end of the tunnel. If I could reach that, then God will be with me.
Well, yeah, and that's
with you through.
A lot of those questions come from a place of point A to point B kind of thinking, right? Of yes, put the coin in the machine, and then let's get the machine to do what we want it to do, right? But that is never the imagery God uses. It's always journey. It's always.
Right.
You know, it's, there is this big journey, and really our job in it is one day at a time, right? Not to steal the AA language, but it's like, how do I be present where my feet are in the moment and trust God for everything else and engage God as I take my next step? And I think all of that works in that direction. That's a really hard thing for an adult to understand and live into, let alone, you know, like a teenager.
Yep.
Which is why when my kid wants me to say, listen, just be a Christian so you don't go to hell when you die. You know, I'm like, I'm not going to do that. I'm not going to say that to him, you know, like, because it's way more complex than that. But God help me. I don't know how to have a better conversation around it all the time either.
No. Yeah.
Well, two questions with Steve. Those were good ones.
That's fun.
Yeah, that was awesome. Thanks for being here, man. I appreciate it.
Absolutely.
All right. Well, this has been our Wednesday edition of this. I've been trying to do these Monday, Wednesday, Friday every week until I run out of friends, maybe. I don't know. But if you are just listening to this for the first time, go ahead and subscribe to Jamestown Harbor Church in whatever podcast app you listen to, and then you'll make sure you get all these conversations. You can reach out to me by email, scott.pontier, P-O-N-T-I-E-R, at harborchurches.org. And if you want to hang out more with Steve, I'll connect you to him because he's not doing much else right now. We'd love to talk to you. So thanks for joining us today. See you later.
Peace and love.